It is now my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Darrell Kleinbach grew up in a Quaker tradition of service. And she says that she has enjoyed and benefited from volunteer activities all of her life. So she was naturally delighted to hear about the Village Movement some 5 years ago. It's a volunteer-driven effort to help our beloved elders stay in their homes as long as they are able. She describes herself as either being blessed or cursed by having this heritage of long-lived women. And so she has been thinking of how to plan for another 30 years, just in case they should be there. She wants to talk with us this morning about her ideas to enhance our physical and spiritual futures. We'll have an opportunity following that to ask questions and comment. Darrell, let's give you a warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your introduction, and thank you everyone for inviting me to speak today. I've sort of changed the topic of my presentation because of something that just happened. So I'm mostly going to talk about what community has meant to me. Friday, I drove up to the Gillam County Fair in Condon, Oregon. And I went there because some of my best friends are the grand marshals of the 4th of July parade, and their family was the kind of the honored people at the fair. So I got there early enough to go sit in the sale on the barn where they were showing all the animals, the children and the grandchildren of my friends, showing their hogs and sheep and goats and cattle. And I got to see many, many of my good old friends. I lived in Gillam County for 10 years. And while I was there, I started thinking about how did I get this community? How did I was blessed by this community? And it's kind of a funny story where you take a risk and sometimes it really turns out to have a lot of good benefits. Some of my Quaker friends called me about a year after we lived there and asked me if, told me there was a walk. People were going to walk from Astoria to Hanford to protest the new plutonium plant. They were going to use Mormon carts and walk the whole way. And would I host them? And without even thinking, I said, oh, sure. And so I went down to the Arlington City Council and asked if it was okay if we parked, if we camped in their park. And you know, there's a very nice park in Arlington. And if we could use the city council chambers for our presentation. And they said, no way. Well, what I didn't know was that town had been seriously divided during the 1970s because there was an attempt to put a new nuclear power plant in a place between Gillam County and Morrow County, I think. Anyway, I didn't know anything about that, but I did know that had to have a second plan. So I invited the people to come to, well, I have to preface this with another, I forgot part of the story. My husband and I moved there in 1980 because his parents, his father and his grandfathers were Methodist ministers. We attended the Methodist church in Arlington. And I have to tell you, this is kind of a hard thing to explain, but I never felt comfortable in that church. I don't know why. It wasn't about the people. It wasn't about the message. I just felt physically uncomfortable. So anyway, about the plutonium, the anti-plutonium march, we got pickup trucks and brought them to our farm and had them camp there. And then I called the editor of the newspaper, and he wrote a very nice article, and all these people came. It was wonderful. And then I found out that most of them were from the United Church of Christ in Condon. And I said to my husband, you know, if you don't mind, I would like to really honor them and attend some services there. And to make a long story short, that was where our community evolved there, and that community of Condon with that spiritual community. So I have a lot of love for the... actually have some. Yeah. That's just nerves. So after I was at the fair for a while, I decided to go across the road to the Summit Springs retirement community, where a lot of my friends are now living. And one of the people I visited, her name is Alma Jean. She had been a school teacher, and in about 1980, her husband got ill, and she had to retire and take care of him. And she said the first thing she did was join the group from the United Church of Christ who had decided that Condon needed a retirement / assisted living. And it has turned out to be a very big blessing for the community, but also for Alma Jean, because she was able to move in there and have help with her husband. Now she's 95 years old. And she said to me, and she's very bright, very busy. She said every afternoon she plays pinochle. She goes to all the activities. So life is good, except she said one thing. She said, I never expected to live this long, and I didn't prepare financially for living this long. She said, you know, I was in my 70s. I looked at my money, and I said, I have too much money. I think I'll give it away. And now she's 95. So but she's doing very well. Anyway, half of the people at Summit Springs Retirement Home are from the United Church of Christ. So they have a wonderful retirement community, a wonderful way to connect, which is so rare. And fortunately, that's a very small town, only 500 people. And so most of their children have gone off to Texas or wherever. And so it's just such a blessing for them to be able to still, you know, play pinochle with their friends. So then Friday night, I drove to the Dalles and spent some time with a friend of mine from Gillam County who just moved from the farm she lived on for 50 years to the Dalles because her husband's not well. And she is really intentional on getting a community there. The first thing she did was join the United Church of Christ. She said, I'm not going to do the fellowship, or the women's fellowship. I did that all those years. I'm going to find new things to do. But she has found her community, and I think that's it's really important to be intentional about our community. And she's really doing quite a job. She's moved all kinds of plants down there, and she has made herself a beautiful new home and lots of good friends. My own experience with community is very strong in my mind. I've never forgotten this. When we were little, our grandfather was a quiet man, but we children could get him to talk if we asked him to tell stories. And he was a horse and buggy mailman. And he did three routes, so he did each route twice during the week. And this was in the 20s and the 30s, I think. But he was often the only person that those folks out in the country saw. And so he carried messages. He found out some of them were really very hungry, and he had a big garden. So he was able to quietly, you know, say, I had way too much of this, you know. And I think that is my strongest memory of a kind of a light bulb, because as children, we don't really appreciate our community. And I sure did learn something from him. Another experience with community for me was moving into the neighborhood I live in now, which is Lair Hill, which is just south of downtown. When we moved in there, my husband was a professor at Portland State. It was very convenient for us. And we were there exactly 1 month when the mayor announced that that was the worst slum in the city and it would be demolished and more high-rises would come there. And there was a young man about 17 years old who went door to door to the businesses and the residents and organized us. There were maybe 20% of the people owned their own homes, and then mostly it was sort of a little bit of a slum. There were many, many people from Eastern Europe and some Italians, and about a third were hippies. And, you know, I just thought it was a wonderful place myself, but it was so vulnerable to this kind of planning. But we really, this young man organized us, and we were able to, we actually trained the elderly people to go speak in front of the city council, and with the tears rolling down their face, but they sure didn't make a statement. And fortunately, we were able to stall the urban renewal. Actually, we never would have won, except it became unfashionable in Washington, D.C. to tear down neighborhoods. But we did survive that. And there was a man named Arthur Hahn, who's an attorney here in Portland, but he's a survivor of the Holocaust. And he kept track of all the people, which is now the South Auditorium part of Portland, which was a huge ethnic neighborhood. And it had two synagogues. And I know the only thing that's left is the Catholic Church, St. Michael's, I think it is. But it was a huge committee with many delicatessens and so on. And he kept track of what happened to the people that were displaced. And within 5 years, a third of them had passed away just from being ripped out of their neighborhoods. So I really resonated on the importance of neighborhood then. And so that was my, you know, another big experience with community and what it does for us. I got a lot of self-confidence during that time, too, because I did a lot of organizing. And I noticed my friend Sarah Smith is here, and she was actually in charge of our organizing. So, in 1980, I got married a second time and moved to Gillam County. And we started out... we started out just kind of being, getting ourselves organized, getting in with the school. It had a wonderful school, 14 children in kindergarten through eighth grade. And my daughter came home from school the first day of school. She says, "Mommy, this school is going to be good for me." And then about a week later, she came home and she said, "But Mommy, who will I marry?" So she was really... But I got quite involved with the Extension Service and found out, you know, what a strong force these small communities maintain, what it takes to have a strong community. So now... I'm thinking about community again as I age. And I was just so fortunate 5 years ago to hear someone speak about the Village Movement. It just rang a bell with me. This is perfect. most people don't really need to go to nursing school, I mean, to nursing homes. They just have one or two small needs that needs to be taken up. So we've been organizing for about 5 years in Portland, and there will be 8 villages in the city, and that counts southern Clark County. we're going to do things that it doesn't take professionals to do for people. So we've done some polling now after 5 years of organizing. We asked people, what do you want? What do you need? They did not say they needed, you know, to be, well, actually they do need some of these things, but the first thing they needed was community. The first thing they needed was to be able to keep active mentally and physically and happily. We will be doing a lot of services such as rides are the second thing that people want, but most importantly, it's community. And to me, that is just what keeps us alive and well. So I'll tell you a little bit about the Village Movement. It started in Boston 15 years ago. There were some women on Nob Hill, of all places, who didn't want to leave their homes. And they got together and formed a community to help each other. And slowly but surely over the past 15 years, this has been expanding. There are 300 villages in the United States. There are going to be 8 villages in the Portland area, of which I think 6 are about ready to go. And our goal is to help people socially and physically to stay in their homes as long as they want. And we're finding that most people want social connection. We have coffee hours and trips up the gorge to Maryhill Museum. Once a month they have a meeting at Connor's Pub over in Multnomah Village. But what we're trying to do is give people some options to not be warehoused, to be able to stay in their homes if they wish, and actually to have a whole new phase of life. And I'm finding it just extremely stimulating, finding so many people who want to volunteer. So the sorts of things we can do as a village for people is not things it takes a professional to do. I mean, we cannot even put your pills, your prescription pills, in the boxes. That has to be done by a professional. But there's so many things we can do. You know, rides seem like a big thing, but sometimes just changing a light bulb is one of the things that can help you stay in your home. You don't want to do ladders anymore and so on. So River West Village is one of the 8 villages in the area. Our boundaries are from the south of the freeway south to the Lake Oswego border, and from the river over, I can't remember the name of that street, but Shoals Ferry, I think. And we have meetings once a month and lots of committees. And we're just about to launch our village. It will be the 1st of October we'll be launching. So I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you very much.
Do you pay a fee, or how do you belong or join?
Yes, you pay a fee. And it's approximately $50 or $55 a month for a full service. And that means you can have unlimited services and I think 5 rides a month. And that's a pretty flexible number. And you can have all kinds of, you know, people will come clean your yard or whatever for you. And if you don't need services, if you just want to volunteer, there's a fee, I'm sorry, I can't remember how much, about $20 a month, just to participate in the social activities. But some social activities don't require a fee, but some of the special ones, you need to be what's called a social member.
Who does the volunteering? Is it part of the community or others come?
No, part of the community. Okay. Right. Because everyone is vetted. Everyone has a background check. You know, there's very careful training. All the drivers are trained by professional trainers. And all the volunteers are vetted.
I live in King City, and I am surrounded by people who sound perfect for your service. Between King City, Summerfield, which is across the street, a couple of other areas, there are thousands of older people within a mile of me. And it seems like an absolutely perfect place to start a village. And I'm wondering, well, number one, I emailed somebody, I don't know who, I don't remember, who supposedly was part of the area's village movement and got no response. But what is involved in getting a village going?
Well, I know there are some other people in the King City area, too. It took us around, I think we started working on this about, I heard about it 5 years ago, but I think it took us about 4 years to get enough people put together. Well, mostly it's about outreach. And like you said, in King City, you really got a captive audience almost. But we just needed to train enough volunteers to put it together. And it doesn't cost very much money, but we earned money in order to buy the software that we're going to need to organize and so on and so forth.
I'm hoping you just said that there are people in King City, you think, who are doing this.
I couldn't hear you.
Is there any kind of a central anything so that actually answers emails?
Yes, there is.
So, you know, that part. To find out if there are other people in one's area, because just sort of sitting and going, now what do I do for the next 5 years is an impossibility for me. But
right. Well, in the first place, we have a central organization called Northwest Villages, and they will put together all the information you would need. And we put ads in the Multnomah newspaper, and we have had a lot of different ways of reaching out to people. But I think the ad in the Southwest News was really very helpful.
The other thing I was going to say is that Darl has very kindly brought a lot of brochures, and they'll be downstairs on the membership table. One more.
It's just a little one, but how many people are we talking? Like, how many people are in your village that's about to launch?
Well, we have about 300 that are interested and probably will start out with maybe 50 to 70 members, of which maybe only 10 will be full-service members. And the rest are going to be kind of what you'd call social members until they need to, and they're going to want to do services. I mean, we do everything from change light bulbs to catch the cat. You know, it's one of those things where I know one story was about a woman whose daughter bought her a membership, and she said, "Why did you do that? I would never use it." And about a month later, she called her daughter, and she says, "You know, I have to thank you, because I did call the village." "And why, mother?" "Well, the cat, I had an appointment for the cat at the vet, and I couldn't catch the cat. So somebody came and caught the cat for her." There's many of the things that you can get help with, you're not going to predict. So,
does that answer your
question? A good gift suggestion to your kids, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Darl. We'll meet you downstairs.